Last September, we began looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And so far, we have covered Matthew chapter 5. First, we looked at what we call the Beatitudes. And that took us up to just before Christmas. And then we took a break over the Christmas period time. And starting in January, we did the rest of Matthew chapter 5, which focuses on the outworking of the law of God in the Christian's life. And then we've had another break over the Easter period. And now we're coming to Matthew chapter 6, which is still Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to focus now on why do you do what you are doing? Let me read to us from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. And Jesus said, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven." And this now introduces what Jesus goes on to talk about, which is giving to the needy and prayer and fasting. And where is your treasure? And then finally, it's about worry. And we'll be looking at each one of these things in the coming weeks. But as Jesus says here in verse 1, he says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them." We need to be careful that our acts of righteousness do not become unrighteous acts of righteousness, which is quite the oxymoron. Unrighteous acts of righteousness. And the issue that Jesus is addressing here in chapter 6 is actually very straightforward. And it is, why do you do what you are doing? Are you seeking the attention and praise of people? Or are you seeking to please and honor God? What is your motive? And this is a very important issue, because often the things we do are done to impress other people. As Jesus talks about acts of righteousness, we need to ask, what are acts of righteousness? Righteousness, first and foremost, is an attribute of God. When the scriptures say God is righteous, what that means is God is absolutely right. All that God says is right. All that God does is right. All that God thinks is right. All that God plans is right. All that God is right. Scripture also tells us, not only is God righteous in all that he says and does and thinks and plans and is, but God intended people to be righteous as well. This is actually what it means when God said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, "Let us make man in our own image." So what is that image? Well, there are many things that are true of God that are not true of people. For example, God is all-powerful. We are not. God is all-knowing. We are not. God is eternal. We are not. So when it says God made man in his image, it is important we understand that image, what that image is referring to, and what it is. It's referring to the moral character of God. God is love. So we are intended to display love. God is kind. So we're intended to be kind. God is patient. So we're intended to be patient. And all of this is summed up in the word righteous. God is righteous. And human beings were created to be righteous. But the problem is, as Paul says to the Romans in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, there is no one righteous, not even one. Which is actually a quote from Psalm 14. God is righteous. There is nothing wrong with God at all, which is a consistent message throughout the scriptures. But human beings are not righteous. There are none righteous, not even one. We have a terrible track record as people. So here's the problem. Because we're not righteous, and yet we were created to be righteous, There is this constant struggle and battle going on in our lives. And what we do is we confuse doing right things for righteousness. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing good things. There's nothing wrong with giving or prayer or fasting or having possessions. And we're going to look at all of those kinds of things in the coming weeks. But when you attach yourself to these things in order to make yourself look good, what you end up with is self-righteousness, not righteousness. We think our righteous acts are wonderful, but actually they are nothing but filthy rags before God. Isaiah 64:6 says, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags." You know, one of the hardest things for people to realize and face is that their best efforts count for absolutely nothing when it comes to what makes us righteous. And Jesus is saying, if you are to understand what righteousness really is and where it comes from, you are going to have to take yourself out of the picture. The righteousness of God is actually a gift to people. Again, Paul, in writing to the Romans, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "For if by the trespasses of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" The phrase I want to highlight is the gift of righteousness. Righteousness never begins with what we do, where somehow we'll become righteous by doing the right things. Becoming the right person through Jesus Christ is what enables you to do the right things, because righteousness is a gift. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The Lord Jesus became everything we are in our sin and unrighteousness, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's actually an exchanged position. Christ became what we are that we might become what he is. Righteousness begins when you come to the cross of Jesus Christ in recognition that the only possibility of becoming righteous is by receiving the life of the righteous one, Jesus Christ, to live within you as your Savior and Lord. This is why righteousness is primarily about who we are and not about what we do. It's about what we have become in our union with Jesus Christ. And now our standing and our status before God has been declared righteous. Yet, having said that, there are things that we need to do. We're supposed to be doing good things, and we're supposed to do things before people to be seen by them. That's actually what Jesus said a little earlier in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Jesus said, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So Jesus had said just a few minutes earlier, in the same sermon, on the same mount, in the same context, to the same people, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds." So why does Jesus now say, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them"? It kind of sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? One time Jesus says, "Do your good deeds before men to be seen by them." And now a few minutes later, he says, "Be careful not to do your good deeds before men to be seen by them." The difference is not in the act itself. The difference is in the source of the act. You know, if the source is me, the origin of it is me, the object will be related to me. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to have happen. It will be about, you know, my reputation and about how I am seen by others. But if the origin, the source, is God, who has indwelt us, then the object of what we will be doing will be for God. And they will see God's work, and all the attention will go to God. The problem Jesus is addressing in Matthew 6 is when they see your good deeds and you get all the attention. It's about yourself. The origin of the act determines the object of the act. If the origin is myself, the object will be myself. If the origin is God, the object will be God, our Father in heaven. And this is how Jesus lived his life before people. He said in John chapter 5 and verse 19, "I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." The origin of what you see going on in Jesus' life is not Jesus. It was his Father. The Son's activity was the Father's activity. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 30, he says, "By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." Jesus was not trying to please himself. He was not trying to please the crowd. He sought only to please his Father. So what Jesus did came from the Father and was for the Father and brought praise to the Father. But if what I do comes from me, then it's from me and only brings praise and attention to me. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 41, "I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God?" If you are living on this human level, how can you really connect with me, Jesus is saying? How can you live the kind of life God is requiring you to live if all the time you're looking over your shoulder to get the approval and the praise and the applause of people around you? And this is why we need to be concerned about the origin of our acts of righteousness. What is the motive here? Who is it for? What is the object? Is it so that I can go home and sit in my easy chair with my feet up and be satisfied that people think that I am such a wonderful person and have done so many wonderful good things? Or in contrast, is Matthew 5:16, where Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And that may be in giving, it may be in praying, it may be in fasting, it may be the use of your possessions, but the effect of them is, because the origin came from God, the effect of the object is bringing praise to God our Father. And you go home, and people might not even know what you have done, but you know God knows, and that is what's important. And people's attention is directed towards God and not towards yourself. If the act is to please people, then the source is ourselves, and it will feed our ego and our own interests. But if the act is to please God, it is because the source is God himself, and it's for his interests. So the nature of righteousness is determined not by the act, but by the origin. Is this God working in and through me? Or is this all about me? If the source is what we do is God, the effect will be godly. If the source of what we do is ourselves, the effect will be glorifying ourselves And that is why then it becomes unrighteous acts of righteousness. You know, the scriptures say of Jesus in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. What does that mean? Jesus, when he became a man, he could have cared less what other people thought about him in terms of whether they liked him or disliked him or his behavior, his actions, his words. He had one concern and one concern only, that he pleased his Father. Jesus was not driven by human reputation. So in speaking to the crowd of people in Matthew 6, Jesus is saying, here is the problem you have. You are being seduced by the external acts of righteousness, which are really unrighteous acts of righteousness, because they're acts of self-righteousness. You have this facade about you. You're actually a hypocrite. You're a pretender. You're doing what looks good for show and looks good to others. But you know what? God is not impressed. What we do, and it comes through in all of chapter 6 of Matthew, but it comes out in verses 3 and 4. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You know, it's meeting God in that secret place, in the deepest place of your heart, where you know him and he knows you and you experience him and you talk to him and you listen to him. And out of that place flows love and fruit and effectiveness. And you will engage in all kinds of things, of giving and praying and fasting. But people will not see you in those good works. They will see God and praise him. It is not what you are doing for God. It is what God is doing through you. And as we dig into these issues in Matthew chapter 6, let me ask, do you have that secret place where you meet with God, where you commune with him, and he exposes to you who you really are in love and with gentleness, so that he might cleanse you and fill you with himself? You know, if your Christian life is all on the surface, it's all about what you do, going to meetings or engaging in this activity or that activity, or keeping a list of rules, of do's and don'ts, or looking over your shoulder to see who's watching and pleasing people, your Christian life is probably superficial. God will never do through you what he first hasn't done in you. And what Jesus does in you will come from that secret place with him. It is in that place where victories are won and you experience God. It is out of that inner relationship and intimacy with God where there will flow all kinds of righteous acts that will bear fruit for God's glory. But it's between you and God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our hearts are so deceptive, and we quickly fall into doing what we do to impress others. Oh, forgive us, Lord, and help us have that inner quiet place where we come before you and listen to you and commune with you and you alone. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.